Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
So fun.
It's so fun.
Where do we even begin?
Because I don't know where to begin with this one.
I howled this episode. Like, there were so many laugh aloud, LOL moments, if you will, for me.
Yeah. It was just brilliant. So this is Bake Off episode 8. I've written it down as 8.
Yes, I believe. Party week.
Party week. And it was the quarterfinal, which I find very strange because quarterfinals, surely there should be 4 of them, but there's not, there's 5.
Because they have 3 in the final, don't they? But yeah. I do agree with you that it seems odd. Quinterfinal.
But this is great. I love the fact that going from last week where I think we were struggling to like any of the bakes, this week, every time they said, this is the next bake or this is what we're doing next, it's like, yes, I love it all.
It sounded like a dream. Honestly, I was, sausage rolls. As a veggie, I don't eat a normal pork sausage roll very often, but I love the classic Greg's vegan sausage roll.
Yeah.
And those sausage rolls, fucking hell, they were beefy.
They were amazing. Although there is one I'm going to complain about.
Okay, I'm interested. Sure. I mean, We haven't even got on to the Collins, but we'll get to the Collins.
God. Oh, yeah, I have questions to ask you about that.
Got a quiz for you.
Oh, okay. Have you? I might know the answer. Yeah, this is may have gone to the same
strap in. Have we?
Possibly. Okay. Right. Okay. Week 8, party bakes, quarterfinal. Let's bring on the signature jingle.
It's time for the signature.
Signature time.
It's signature time.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So here we are. Sorry. Sausage rolls.
Okay.
Sausage rolls. So chuffed about this. So chuffed. I think this is fabulous thing for them to do. So really cool. So
it's harking back to all the stuff that you were saying earlier in this series about this episode. I feel like they made stuff that you would actually make, that you can imagine some person watching who's actually going to be asked to do this, not me personally, but maybe you, Esther, someone might actually watch that and be like, go on, I'll make a Colin for the undiscriminate caterpillar cake name for my child's birthday party. And sausage rolls, same vibes. It's like, I can actually imagine going away and making a sausage roll from scratch because it looked quite fun. it looked so much better than anything that you're going to get in the shops.
Yes.
And it felt real. It felt legit.
It did feel. Somehow. I was so pleased. It was definitely going back to kind of older series of Bake Off where it was like, do a Victoria sponge and do a wedding cake or whatever. This to have this kind of like, you know, all of these bakes. Like I actually cheered when it got to the middle one. I was so like, yes, this is so cool. I loved it so much. But with these sausage rolls, I have got, there were two contentious issues here for me. And one of them was Dan's one, which almost made me want to puke in my hands. That mixing up.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. The mixing up of prawn.
Of prawn and pork.
Oh, God. It was so wrong.
I have seen that around in quite a lot of like Pan Asian stuff that people will make like a prawn and pork dumpling or there'll be a prawn and pork ramen or something. But I do agree that I think I've obviously never tasted it and it does seem a bit strange.
I think you're being much better than me. I have never tasted it. But I feel it's quite unlikely that I would. The smooshing of those things and what was essentially the kind of the mincing of the prawn. I mean, it was all just
the minced
wrong.
Prawn is not the one, is it? You don't really mince a prawn. Think about mincing a prawn.
All feels wrong, doesn't it? And so my other thing was a sort of a question, but it's a loaded question. Because I know that I probably come across as being super fussy on this, because I probably am. But okay, so here's my loaded question. How do you feel about mixing savory with sweet?
It depends. Are you referring to the fact that he had sort of like star anise and stuff in his thing?
Star anise,
I'm so
fine.
Itchy because I got my fucking Udi on because it's that time of the year again. Oh, it's actually too itchy. I might have to take it off.
Udi.
Yeah.
It was more about...
Yeah, what was the mixing that concerned you?
Okay, the concern, again, it's another chap. It was Josh putting apricot in his. So there was a kind of mixture of like really, really super sweet and other people were using things like cranberry, I think, and, you know, just a jammy type thing.
I think pork lends itself quite well to that stuff though, right? I mean, apple and pork is a classic combo.
It is.
And I think maybe I draw the line at, I don't know where I draw the line, because apple and pork I would wholeheartedly accept.
Yeah.
But even with Linda McCartney's, like the other day I made an apple, I don't know why I'm showing off on the podcast like this, but I made a sauce and it was like a creamy sauce where I used cider and fennel and a shallot and some garlic and then cream, and it was fucking delicious. And I used that with like, I can't remember what we had. It was like sausage and some starchy potatoy thing, and it was really good. I feel like I do enjoy the combination of a sweet fruity thing, but apricot's probably a bit far. Cranberry seems acceptable because you'd have that on your Christmas dinner, or would you not? You wouldn't go cranberry sauce with your turkey.
Do you know what? I wouldn't. Dave definitely would. I wouldn't. No, I draw the line much, much lower down than you. That I can't bear. I don't even put apple. I wouldn't even have apple with pork. That I find the squishing together of sweet and savory, even down to sweet chili crisps. I think those are bad. But
I actually also am not a big fan of sweet chili crisps and sweet and salty popcorn. That can fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, why would you? I don't get it. I think, and this is one of my things that I'm going to have to raise the next time that I meet up with Nigel Slater, which never happens, but you never know. Back in the day,
your train buddy, your National Rail pal.
Oh no, that was Hugh Fearnley.
Oh, sorry, that was Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall, wasn't it? God, you've just met so many famous people that it's so difficult to remember.
Never actually met Nigel. Would love to meet Nigel. Seems like a really, really nice guy. But like 30 years ago, all of his recipes were full of fat and wine, and they were very French inspired. Absolutely gorgeous. I loved them all. It was all kind of Copo Van and blah, blah, blah. Lovely. And then he had a kind of a thing where he sort of entirely switched and all of his recipes for the past 15 years, and I know that anyone that reads his recipes in The Guardian would agree with me, are all sweet and savory. He can't stop doing it. Mm-hmm. He's always doing it. He's always putting a plum in something, or he's, you know, he's kind of, it's like, it'd be like a perfectly nice kind of chicken salad or something, and he'll chuck something awful in it, like grapes, or it will do, you know, just like that. Where you just sort of go, oh, it would have been nice if you hadn't done that.
If you hadn't done that. Oh, Esther, you really are not a fan. See, I chuck pomegranate seeds in my salads.
Oh, you're
and
so
I
exotic.
I chuck them on top of, I know. I would chuck them on top of quite a lot of things. Like if you roast a cauliflower or something, chuck a nice sort of, have it with a bit of yogurt and some pomegranate seeds. Oh.
I mean, I think I've probably actually done that too. Because there's something kind of Middle Eastern
that's
about
a bit of a
that.
Classic. It's a bit Ottolenghi, isn't it? To chuck a cauliflower in the oven.
Did I ever tell you that Dave
but
thought that Ottolenghi was
grapes
his first
in salads?
Oh, grapes and salads. Yeah, grapes and salads are not great. I think it's. Yeah, sorry, Doug.
I like it. It revolutionized me. He loves a grape in a salad. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Sorry, what
like
were you going to say about Dave, though? Everyone on our street is using the internet this morning. So apologies if we're talking over each other.
I was just going to say that Dave used to think that Ottolenghi was both his first and second name, that he was Ottolenghi.
Oh, Ottolenghi. Oh, no, instead he's just Ottolenghi, like Beyonce or Madonna.
And Madonna. Yeah.
Yeah, just Ottolenghi. He does have a first name, doesn't he?
Yeah. I forgot what it is.
But it's not going to be like Peter, is it? It's got to be cool to go with Ottolenghi. I can't remember what it is, though.
I can't remember what it is either.
I wanted to comment about Dan's slight... I don't know whether you noticed this line, but there was a point where he referred to Paul as... Yeah. And he went, "I'm like his son, aren't I?" And the desperation with which he wanted somebody to go... 100%, Dan, you're exactly like Paul's son. That made me laugh a lot.
But everyone sort of stood around just going, no, really not.
Not really. No. Another shout out for a hilarious moment during this segment is Alison doing the conga with the British Sign Language man.
I loved it. He's coming into his own,
loved
isn't
it
he?
So much. He's really coming into his own. I really do feel like I need to know his name. I might quickly look it up.
Yeah. No, he sounds like he is a good laugh, and he's been lovely and supportive all the way through, and clearly doesn't mind being grappled by Alison.
He's clearly, Esther, you're not going to like this. I searched BSL guy Bake Off.
Yeah.
He's called Daryl.
Daryl.
So shout out to Daryl. But originally it auto-corrected it to Bald Guy Bake Off, and a picture of Matt Lucas appeared. Some people are really searching who is the bald guy on Bake Off.
I also had a shout out about something that Dan said as well. He said, and this was me being really snobby about words and things, but he said, he wanted to make his sausage rolls as equal as humanely possible.
did he?
Killing them, yeah.
Didn't want to be cruel to them, yeah.
Yeah. But I
he knows he's going to have to slice them, but he's going to do it humanely.
Humanely, yeah. What I really noticed at the end of this round was that division again that we saw last week between the boys and the girls, that all of the boys were massively confident and all of the girls were really worried. So it was just a bit like,
I felt like I do go on in my thoughts about this episode. I will save it to a bit later, but I do feel like there was some, I really felt for the first time in a while, like things were unfair in this episode, unfairly weighted towards the boys.
I thought it was unfair this episode.
Should we say?
Yes. Yeah,
I thought it was unfair, and I thought that there was some riggery, some bias, and some cheating all around.
Goodness, massive accusations.
I do have some thoughts about this.
But
while we're still on the signature, I mean, I suppose this sort of spans the entire episode, but I wanted to hear your thoughts about Prue's necklace.
Was it the white weird thing? Was it that kind of
it looked like she was raising awareness for plastic in the oceans or something.
Yeah.
It looked like it was a cut up, one of those beer things where you're supposed to slice them up so that the dolphins don't get their noses stuck in them or whatever.
She always wears necklaces that look torturous. Do you remember the one, was it 2 years ago or something? She wore one that Twitter went mental for.
Oh no, don't even give him the satisfaction. Yeah.
Okay, that Twitter, right? Went mental for what she had around her neck, because most people were saying that it actually belonged up a bum, that it was essentially some kind of butt plug
necklace. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, I might have to look that up after this episode as well.
Yeah, she does love a fancy necklace, doesn't she?
She does. She's not afraid to make a statement. And a lot of the time it pays off. In this episode, I wasn't 100%. It did look like she was a member of Extinction Rebellion. Oh, Prue.
So what
that's
can we say
about me on the signature? What did you think about?
It's about me. I didn't have thoughts on the necklace. But Matty got his handshake at the end.
Oh,
of that.
Oh, of course. How can we forget to mention? And I think Matty, how do you feel about this, Esther? As not a lover of fruit, you were a skeptic about the inclusion of apple, but I do think that contributed to the moistness and overall success. So
you said moistness. Yeah, I think I have to say, of all of them, his are the one. And I was being a bit snotty about those too, because it was like he's made a basic sausage roll. But it did look like I would have smashed
it. Knocked
those.
Paul's socks off, didn't it? Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that was what
didn't
Paul
even pause,
after.
Did he?
I think no, he was just gagging for a Greg sausage roll at this point. Like, and Matty delivered.
Yeah.
Actually, he delivered more like a butcher, something you might get from the butchers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was
like
good. It was artisanal. Yes.
Yeah. It was, or maybe from a craft fair, a Saturday morning market in a small town. Yeah. That's what it looked great.
Yeah. So
Josh did okay. Josh did all right, didn't he? Tasha, I can't remember actually how Tasha did. I think she did okay.
I did ticks and crosses, right? So Tasha was a flavour tick. It's a mixture, because she got a flavour tick, but a bake was too soggy. So that was a... They said her flavours were exceptional. Dan was a flavour cross, but a bake tick. Josh was a flavour tick, a taste tick, but a bake cross.
Yeah,
Christy, he
had a lot of gaps, didn't he?
That's
a gappy
right. Christy
roll.
Was a flavour tick and a bake cross, and Matty was a handshake. So it was a mixed bag. No one really stood out apart from Matty's. Although I think they really didn't like the prawn pork.
They weren't
melange.
Big on it.
No, and I agree.
Big on it.
Sorry, Dan. Yeah. Hideous.
Sorry, Dan.
Hideous.
Esther called it correctly on that one. It didn't seem like it went down very well. He loves to do something experimental, and I love Dan for that. But this week, as we go on to see, I feel like it just didn't really work for him, did it? It didn't pay off in the way that he hoped. No.
Grimbles. Grimbles. Okay, well, should we move on to technical? Because I think technical might take
Let's
up a bit more space.
I'm so excited about this technical. I cannot express. Let's have the bloody jingle. Let's get technical.
Technical
it's time.
Time
for the technical. Okay.
Okay. What's the technical, Holly?
Oh, the technical was chocolate caterpillar cakes. And first of all,
yes,
just one of my favourite things in the world. Though I will take slight issue straight away with the fact that they covered theirs in a ganache thing. I like it when it's just solid milk chocolate and you like bite into it and it's hard and crunchy.
Yes. Yeah, I like
That's
that too.
That's better for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not sure I would want like a sort of slightly sickly ganache all over the top of it. Yeah.
Agreed.
But I was so excited about this before. The first thing that I wanted to ask you, and I do fear that we've talked about this on the podcast before somehow.
Ooh.
Maybe we haven't. I had deja vu when I was looking this up. But
yeah.
I want you, because they very cleverly, of course, did not name the brand, the, yeah. the particular caterpillar. I wanted to yeah. see whether you can name them.
Name all of them.
Have you? Well, I've got the. I will prompt you. Don't worry. You don't have to do it off the cuff.
Oh, yeah. Because I think I did
to,
something.
You to tell me where they're from, which British supermarket chain they originate from.
Okay, go on then. Tell me.
Okay, is it funnier and better to do it? I tell you the supermarket, you guess the name of the caterpillar, or is it funnier to say?
You're going to have to say the name of the caterpillar and I'll guess the supermarket. Go on.
Okay.
So start easy.
I'll start easy. I'll say, where does Colin come from?
Marx's. Yes.
Colin comes from M&S. Classic. Cecil. How about Cecil the caterpillar?
Ooh. Sainsbury's?
This is another... no, but we're around the same sort of classiness.
I know it's not Morrison's. Tesco?
No, it's a bit classier than that.
Yeah, I don't know then.
It's Waitrose.
Oh, is it?
Cecil is Waitrose, is caterpillar.
That is classy. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably the next most popular caterpillar, I would say, one of the only ones that I've really heard of, is Curly. Where's Curly coming from? Where are you buying a Curly?
Oh, I mean, Aldi?
No, this is really hard, isn't it?
It is hard. That's okay. Just tell me, who is it? Put me out of my pain.
Tesco. He's from Tesco. Ah. The other one, the famous one that rocked the boat, where was Cuthbert from?
Oh, no, that was Tesco, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, that was Aldi. We've already had Tesco. Okay. Sorry. That was Curly.
Sorry.
Aldi. Now we're venturing that was the big one. Into the more. We've got Clyde coming from Asda. Very similar sounding Clive from One Stop. Oh. What's One Stop?
Oh, it just
is that like an offie?
It's like a corner shop. Yeah.
We've got Chris from Poundland. Curious Caterpillar Cake from Co-op. They haven't even bothered to christen him.
Oh, shame.
We've got Cuthbert, obviously. Then on to the last two that I am going to make you guess, because these two are not C names. They've broken away from the onomatopoeia of caterpillars. Morris, where's he from?
I know. Yeah, he's Mozzers. He's from Morrison's.
He's from Mozzers. Morris, the Morrison's caterpillar. And what about Wiggles?
Oh, we've done all of those, haven't we? So...
he's one that we mentioned, but we didn't. You didn't get it correct. You have mentioned this brand.
Oh, have I? Oh no, my memory is for shit.
I think you have.
Did I? Asda.
No, I'm actually not seeing one from that. Oh no, that was Clyde. This is Sainsbury's one. Sainsbury's have Wiggles, the caterpillar.
They were desperate not to get into any kind of legal battle, weren't they? I guess with that one.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you what, the gluten-free and dairy-free versions, if you're looking for those, that's Carl from Tesco, Frida from Asda, and Eric from Sainsbury's. Love that they named them the different things.
I love them.
I love them all. I love a mini. Have you got a favourite? I mean, let's be honest, we've all got a favourite.
Of all of those, Colin. It's all going to be Colin, because the chocolate's really thick,
isn't it? It's
going
to be Colin.
And
you can buy good the face. You can buy just the faces. I ate a whole bag of the faces the other day.
I was just about to say that the faces are the best bit. And I've seen pictures of some of these other ones, and some of them are shocking. Like, I think there's one of them, and it might be like a Poundland version, where I think it's sugar paper face. Like, it's like that's
ghostly.
Shit, you know. Yeah. Not nice.
Yeah. I think it might be Tesco's Curly. They've got like a sort of, because the joy of Colin's face is that it's white chalk, solid white chalk, and it's just, you could just crunch down on the whole thing. Whereas Curly, the caterpillar from Tesco, has first of all got a slightly cursed face. Second of all, it looks like it's just like fondant, which would be much too... I know that's maybe sounds ironic saying that I would eat a whole slab of white chocolate, but fondant,
different.
A whole fondant face would be too sickly for me.
Not nice. Yeah, and the other good thing about Colin, obviously, is the feet. You can eat the feet as well, can't you? Because they're the white chocolate shoes.
The feet are great.
Yeah.
They bring out different... Love that he wears shoes. He's such a gentleman. I love the different versions too. Like, there are the wedding Collins. Yes. Have you seen those? There's a bride and a groom, yes. Colin, you can get, which I personally will
Colin
be having
Connie,
at my wedding.
Oh yeah, for
oh,
sure.
Oh yes. You, of course, Connie, they did a coronation Colin for the coronation earlier this year. And we bought mini coronation Collins, Esther, I remember.
We did.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We did, yeah. We were really excited about them. I bought one for Doug and you bought one for Ted and Felix.
I did.
Oh, they are just great. So there we go. That was my quiz. Apologies to you all at home. That was probably so dull for you, but I found it hilarious.
And loved it.
Just this whole fucking bit made me laugh. Paul's Colin. Let's talk about Paul's Colin. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. He doesn't need antenna.
He does not need antenna. Who does that? So
haunting.
And that was it was like one of his major criticisms about the others as well. Like, where's their antenna? It's like, because it doesn't exist on any other. What on earth are
no,
you talking
because
about?
None of the others. Paul's got his inspiration from A Bug's Life rather than from actually looking at a Colin the caterpillar cake.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
And don't you think it's really, really peculiar where they've tried so hard to be so close to Colin the caterpillar in some aspects, but in other aspects, they've just gone out on a limb. So they desperately want to get those kind of ridges that you get. But,
yeah.
but then they covered it in overcomplicating it.
Shiny.
And then they covered
ganache.
It in sticky. Yeah. It's like, what?
What Colin have you ever seen? Every Colin is covered in milk chocolate or caterpillar cake.
Yeah. Does it make ridges?
I've never seen one with ridges.
They definitely do.
Okay.
But this is the thing. It's like, why bother? But does it make you want to go off for the next birthday party and make your own Colin the caterpillar cake?
Not really. I'm sorry. It makes me want to make a bowl of that buttercream and eat it straight from the bowl. But I'm not sure I could be asked with, well, exactly what tripped Dan up, which was the measuring and rolling of the Colin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was quite cheeky the way that they made them do that. I can imagine that would have been quite a difficult instruction to follow. However, let's discuss Dan's reaction to this and what he did next. Why, what on earth? He just cut it up and made a tiny little Colin and it looked really sad and it was so odd.
It was a really shit Colin.
I guess when you're under pressure. He just thought, I'll just cut half of the cake off. And I would have just rolled up what I had and been like, it doesn't have ridges and it tastes exactly the same, funnily enough. Who cares?
And I think we need to revisit this incident when we get to the end of this and have a chat about Dan's tiny little caterpillar cake.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was shite. What did you think of all the faces?
Okay, I've got some notes on the faces here. I laughed so much, first of all, when they showed It was like a jump scare. They were like talking about the caterpillars or whatever, and then they just showed Dan's one and went, "He's a beauty." That gave me an actual jump scare, and I laughed out loud. It was shocking. Matty's face looked like a Beano character.
Yes, it did. It was quite good. Yeah, actually.
His looked very Nasher or Dennis or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he had teeth, didn't he? I think. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I thought Dan's was cursed. It looked like simultaneously Mr. Blobby and also Frida Kahlo.
It was so weird. Yeah,
it was so funny. I think that's one of the funniest. It had a monobrow, right? And and a big red clown nose. Tasha's Noel was great.
Amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Good. I loved it.
Josh's looked like him, like a self-portrait caterpillar. Christie's looked like your pumpkin that you did for Felix's pumpkin, but that you helped her carve, where it was a tiny face on it. Yeah, yeah. Those are my thoughts on the faces.
Good thoughts. So do you agree with the judges' decisions?
To be honest, I can't remember what they were. Tasha won, didn't she?
Yeah.
Tasha won. I agreed with that. Christy came second. Hers must have been delicious because it looked like a dog's dinner.
But again, let's revisit that at the end of this, shall we? So yeah, Christy's was second.
Yes, let's.
And Christy's and Dan's shit show was last.
Yeah, which is valid. I think we all knew. I mean, what the hell was Dan doing? The time I knew he was in trouble... The moment I knew he was in trouble was when he took his bake out of the oven, he flicked it quite violently onto a cooling thing, didn't take the... Well, maybe he did, but we didn't see him take the baking tray actually off the sponge. It looked like something had gone horribly wrong from the start when he'd done that, but he just went, "Hopefully it'll be all right," and didn't check. And I was like, not usually what I do, Dan. If I'm hoping something's going to be all right, just throw it violently down and don't look at it. Hopefully it'll be all right.
I think that chap's cards are marked, don't you?
I think they are. But, and it's sad because he had been, aside from his bread week blip, he had been doing very well. But yeah, he did two fuck ups from Dan so far, really, in this episode.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Not
shall we
great.
Move on? I know you don't want to leave the caterpillars behind, but should we move
no,
on to
I
the
love
showstopper?
The caterpillars so much, unless you've got anything else to say about them.
No, let's move on.
Okay, let's do the showstopper.
Showstopper.
Beautifully done.
Thanks, Dave.
Right,
okay. So this was
the anything but beige buffet.
Right. Okay, yeah, because it took me a little while. I was trying to figure out, and I wasn't listening closely enough. I think I was probably just looking on the internet for pictures of Colin caterpillars.
Yes, I was. This was when I was looking at the supermarkets they were from. But I did have to rewind because I was like, "What the bloody hell is going on in this tent here on this day?" Because I didn't pay any attention to the task. I was like, "Tasha's making pigs." At one point, Dan just went, "I'm just going to check on my dragon eggs," and I was like, "I need to rewind and check what this task was."
Yes, thematically it was mixed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But here we go. So this was massive, and they gave them 4.5 hours for this.
Yeah.
So they had loads and loads of time to do it.
But it still seemed quite tricky, didn't it? We still had quite a lot of stuff going down to the wire. Dan,
oh my God, yeah.
I mean, Dan for some reason chose to do 6, even though...
Yeah.
It's really tricky because let's put ourselves in the mindset of Dan. He's done not very well at all in his sausage rolls. I mean, he's done okay in terms of the bake, but flavor-wise, it's not gone well for him. He's done
not
appallingly
brilliant.
In the technical. He's not been able... He's made a little flaccid caterpillar that no one's pleased with. And it's got the most cursed face of anything of all time that literally made me jump out of my skin when they cut to it. He's going into day 2 of the filming of this episode, and he's thinking strategically, I've got 2 options here. I can either stick to my guns and do something really, be sensible, but see if I can do it really well, or just try and pull it out the bag and see if I can smash it out the park. And he obviously decided to go for the riskier option of let's do something that will really show them that I deserve to stay in this competition. I think if I were him, I personally would have backed the horse of let's perfect my four bakes and do it really well so it's watertight and they've got no argument that it's not good.
Yeah, and like, and the result of his efforts, I think, looked a bit shit, don't you?
Yeah. Like, right, this is where I'm going to call misogyny and patriarchal bullshit on this.
Do it.
Because I felt like, I know that it's difficult, as we've discussed before, we don't have smell or taste division. So it is hard to actually know what the judges are fully experiencing. But looking at it all, I thought that Christy and Tasha's looked really good. And I thought, Josh's was a huge sleigh, a Christmas sleigh, if you will. But Matty and Dan's looked fucking shite. And they were like, oh, well done, boys. That's really good. We're really impressed with you. You've done really good colouring in today. And the girls who did a really good job were like, they were like, oh, well, not exactly an A star at A level in fine art, is it? And I was like, this is bullshit.
It was bullshit because I think like Tasha's pig buns were amazing.
They're one of the best things I've ever seen in
they
my
were
life.
So cool. I know. they were lovely. And what Matty was doing was producing a series of... They had character. Matty was just a series of balls. And
it was
some
a series of,
them, of
balls.
Yeah. And some of them, like he had, they were like the little pies that were supposed to be cricket balls or something. And they were pie shaped. Not ball shaped.
Yeah.
It was like, no, fuck off. And Dan's looked
even
like a
he
right
was
mess.
Like, they don't look like cricket balls. Dan
they don't.
Looked like, what were the grey splodges? I don't think they even acknowledged them.
Not a clue. I think the dragon eggs were like the one
oh, they
successful
were good.
Part. But obviously he made that with a mold. And like the kind of the feet, the kind of dinosaur feet or what they were, they look shit. It was like, well, you've used a
they
cutter for
shit.
Them anyway. So you can't be kind of upheld as being a master baker for using a cutter on something. I mean,
my
kids
dry,
can do that.
And they were like, oh, wow. I mean, it's a real shame they're dry because they are the most anatomically correct and beautifully designed dinosaur feet I've ever seen in my life. And it's like, am I on the same planet as Paul and Prue right now?
Yeah. It feels to me, because Tasha's pigs were amazing, but the rest of it was a bit rubbish. Christy's stuff looked a bit ropey, but looked as though
it looked
it
a little
taste really nice.
Which is a shame, because that was the whole point of the task. But I thought they really hammed up going, oh, it looks shit, it looks shit, it looks shit. Mm. And then they brought out Matty's cricket balls next. And I was like, come on. And they were like, wow, Matty, those are incredible. I love them. Sorry. It made me annoyed this week. And it's no shade to Dan or Matty, who both did, like, you know, I mean, Matty, a star job. But I did feel like there was maybe a little bit of a... expectation on Christy and Tasha that wasn't put on Matty and Dan that I thought could only point to a slight gender thing.
I think it was bonkers. It was there was definitely a gaping chasm between how they were kind of judged there. It was really bizarre because like it felt to me as if like Josh was head and shoulders above the competition in the Showstopper, right? His stuff was just it was like going from like one mess to another mess to another mess or whatever, and then Josh's stuff just looked fucking ridiculous and came out of patisserie. It was amazing, but it felt like the four remaining messes should have been clumped in together rather than there being those kind of two levels. And it was really weird, really strange.
Really odd. So strange. I wasn't big on it. The only one that I think I would have wanted to eat would have been Josh's. I loved Josh this week. I loved the fact that he turned up in that big camp Christmas jumper. And I loved that he decided it's Christmas week. I don't care what you guys have to say about it.
And that he owns a pair of elf socks that he was considering wearing and then decided not to at the last minute.
Oh, bless him. just so sweet.
So
I thought that his snow. Oh, I had to say he made snowman macarons. And did you acknowledge the way that Prue said snowman?
No. How did she say it?
She went, "Well, I absolutely adore your little snowman."
Snowman.
Like, oh, like fireman or I don't know, congressman. Snowman.
Snowman.
Oh, charming. Oh, she's so posh. She's so posh.
Love it.
Yeah. I thought that there was Josh. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me ask you the big cue here.
Go on, Em.
Who do you think? So, Matty Winstar Baker.
Yeah.
Correct? Incorrect? What are your thoughts?
I think it was between him and Josh, and I thought it should have been Josh. If they were gonna,
I thought there was Josh erasure this week, serious Josh erasure.
Yeah, and I think considering who went, I think that Josh should have been Star Baker, because if that's what they're judging it on, it should have been Josh. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly the rigory that I'm talking about here. It was just they're not sticking to their same judging tactics.
No,
They've decided who's good. That's what's annoying. Yeah. They've decided who's good. And
So
I feel
who
like
went?
Dan
who
has
went?
Had... So Christy goes. Dan has an incredibly lucky escape, which feels very unfair considering Christy hasn't had a lucky escape yet. And Dan has had two.
Yeah. I think that was bonkers. Like, I think if they were judging just on the showstopper, because Christy did well on her sausage rolls and she did a decent, she was second in the technical and her showstopper was a bit messy and they chucked her out.
Whereas it was nuts.
Josh was, how did he do? Middling.
No, Josh did amazing.
Middling. Oh, no, on signature.
Oh, did he? Okay. I thought you were going to him to Dan.
No. Josh was middling on signature. He was middling on technical and then amazing.
And then amazing on showstopper.
So Dan, so he gets Star Baker because he was amazing on showstopper, but not brilliant on the other two.
No, he didn't get Star Baker, Esther. I'm sorry. Your note.
Sorry,
your
it was Matty. What I mean is that Josh should have been Star Baker because if they judged Christy purely based on a showstopper, which they clearly did, then it should have been Josh's Star Baker, right? Shouldn't have been.
Yes,
it should have been.
Completely agreed. And Dan did, as soon as he didn't go, "I'm definitely going home," I was like, well, he's not going home then, because the editing is quite obvious now. But he was like, he did very middle of the road. I know it's a baking show, but I think the flavours is kind of the kiss of death, isn't it? Mm. Like, if you fuck your flavours up then. So he did poorly flavour-wise in that first challenge. I mean...
Yeah.
Awfully in the technical, though I can't actually remember what his bake tasted like. Maybe it was all right.
Yeah, maybe. He came last,
and it looked shocking. And I think that if you have children in the room or you're of a sensitive disposition, then you should look away from your television screens when they show the face of that caterpillar. His showstopper was meh. Was what I thought about it.
So like, was it one of his things? One of his bakes, one of his six bakes was just a plain biscuit. It was like a lemon shortbread or something. It was like, mate, I could do that.
Oh, delicious, Dan.
Lemony. Yeah.
God.
There was nothing on it. It was just a biscuit. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, and it was beige. It was the definition
of
beige.
It was
in that it
beige.
Was beige in colour and also beige in vibe.
Yeah. In fact, was his really that colourful? Apart from the green feet, but they were really poorly painted.
No, his only colour was like brown and grey. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Whereas Christy, at least she kind of failed to inject the amount of colour that she wanted to, but she did get the memo that she tried to do hers like Willy Wonka themed. And whereas I feel like Dan, what was he even doing to start with? Dinosaurs, famously, eggs and feet are very colourful and not beige.
So the wrong person left the tent. Is that what you think?
I think the wrong person left the tent, and I feel bad for Dan because I like Dan and we've been backing Dan from the beginning. But this is the name of the game. If it's generally not judged on a hugely like arc basis. Like there are people that are brilliant, like Abby, who was doing really well, and then she had a shit week and then she was off. Nikki, she was doing pretty well and then like had an off week, packed her bags. Like I felt like it was unfair to Christy because I feel like that's the second time now with Dan because he did badly on the bread week too.
Yeah.
Where they've been like, oh, it's just an anomaly. Oh, let's keep him in because he's obviously really good. And I feel like that's a bit unfair. They're all good. That's why they're all there.
They're all really good. And Christy's definitely been one of those sort of slightly, you know, we always thought of her as being a slight kind of dark horse, didn't we? Like her and Matty between them kept on sort of coming out of nowhere and producing something amazing. I'm gutted to not be able to see what she would do next, actually, because I think she would have done something incredible.
I think she's the most visually interesting. I mean, Josh is incredibly neat and really, really good at like delivering exciting looking stuff. But I will miss Christy because I feel like she was the best at that. Like her meringue bomb or whatever from last week.
That was amazing.
She just made stuff that looked really cool, and I will be gutted from a visual perspective, whatever they tasted like, to not see them anymore. Bakers make their own things at home, like on Instagram? Because on Drag Race, for example, if obviously some of them have spent hundreds of thousands of pounds on everything they're going to wear for the season, and so if they get sent home in the first couple of weeks, they will usually do an Instagram post every week with where they've got some gorgeous pics of them in the outfit they were going to wear for the themed runway.
Yeah.
Do any of the bakers go, here's my meringue bomb that I never got a chance to make in the tent?
Well, they do. The thing is, I don't follow them all, and I don't follow all the kind of ones that have left in this series. Well, I follow a smattering of Bake Off contestants over the past sort of 15 years. So I can tell you, hands down, they definitely do, but not necessarily. I don't know if they're doing it like, you know, this season people, I don't know if they're doing it, but past season ones, they're all chipping
Janusz
in
did
and doing
it
their
last
own.
Year, maybe, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure they've all, I don't have my phone with me, but they all, I follow sort of various, more of the fun ones. And Raoul occasionally does his own.
Oh, Raoul is so sweet. I follow Ruby, actually, from a couple of years ago. Because Ruby, she's great because she does, like, interesting bake series. So she's doing one at the moment where she's making the most popular cakes in the world. And then she does, like, a sort of deep dive into what a baklava, where it originates from and how you make it and all of that. It's really cool.
Oh, that's nice.
Rowan
has
made his bakes. Oh no, actually, that's not true. He's just made some brownies to watch the episode.
I follow like Candice Brown, I think her name is. She's brilliant.
She was a winner, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. And Kim Joy is joyful. Kim Joy's
joyful, and she just used to make the most amazing looking things. Is she still making sort of little tiny squirrels?
Could you imagine what she would have done with that caterpillar? Can you imagine how amazing
that would have been?
Looked
right up her street. There would have been lots of woodland creatures surrounding it, little fondant woodland creatures.
Kim Joy.
So next week, what are we up to next week?
It's patisserie next week.
It is indeed.
So that's going to be
tough,
complex. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's going to be lots of layers. It's going to be phyllo all over the shop, isn't it?
I saw the hint of a millefeuille in the coming up next time thing, which looked quite tough.
It's all that stuff you see in kind of French cafe windows, which you're sort of thinking, is that plastic or is that real? And is that actually going to be nice? And can I just have a rock bun instead? Because it all looks a bit complicated.
They say it's
eat.
One of the people who make those are the best chefs in the world. Isn't being a patisserie chef very highly regarded as being one of the most difficult sort of avenues you can go down with culinary stuff?
I'm sure it is. It looks like you do have to be a massive chemist, like, you know, and you need to kind of know your tempering and your, you know, it's all gold leaf all over the shop and stuff like that, isn't it?
It's gold leaf. You've got to be you've got to have a great sense of flavors. You've got to be creative. You've got to be artistic. You've got to be neat. You've got to be accurate. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm listing all of my qualities that I lack, really.
You're the anti-patisserie chef.
I'm the anti-patisserie chef. I'm bung it in the oven. Bung it in the bloody oven. And give me a recipe to follow. Come here, ask to think of stuff. That's my cooking.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.